With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Mike and Miana, yeah, they're playing some games. And I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Miana, yeah, they're playing some games. And I pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B.
You can say for free. Hi, everybody, and welcome to the RHAP BNB for week 6, episode 6 and 7, quote-unquote merge. Whatever you want to call it, we're here talking Survivor 42. My name is Mike Bloom, ready to sit down and talk with two wonderful people about two wonderful episodes of Survivor. Really excited to be here. Happy Easter. Hop, hop, bitches. Here we are talking about everything going on. Like the Liana Boris, could we not substitute like the giant Easter eggs for the giant boulders that they had to roll in this past week?
I don't know what that means at all. What does
like,
that
instead
mean?
Instead of the boulders that they had to roll, and what yes? If it said they were giant? Well, I guess there was a boulder in front of a certain cave in the story that's affiliated with Easter as well. So, like, there might be some symbolism going on.
I mean, there's some backstabbing also, right? I feel like that very much ties in. Palm fronds, heavily featured. It's Survivor. So, yeah, nice. Maybe a lot more similarities than we had originally thought.
You know, people didn't initially come to the B&B for biblical tie-ins, but I think now we've officially found our path here. And we are so happy to be joined on this path by someone who, it's been a minute. It's been a long time since we've had her on, and so many things have happened to her, wonderfully so, in the past few years. She is more welcome here than a menu at Applebee's, including dessert. So happy to welcome back Mary Holland to the B&B. Mary, how you doing?
Wow. Oh, my gosh. I mean, what an intro. To be introduced as comparable or even, you know, better than Applebee's is I'm never going to get better praise in my life. Yes, I'm so excited to be here. So excited to talk about this episode with you both. And I really think there are so many, truly so many biblical tie-ins, because I feel like we could even say he is risen about Omar in this episode. Omar is risen.
Unlike the yeast in the bread affiliated with matzah, I want to cover like all my sort of like.
Oh, absolutely. Christian. Absolutely. Yes.
There's a lot of holidays going on. Well, Mary, there I mean, again, you know, like I said, it's been a while, to quote Jeff Probst, like in the beginning of Survivor 41. How have you been? Because if people have been like checking out all the random, you know, pop culture things that go on nowadays, they might have seen your name and face pop up a few times.
Right. Yes. Everything's great. You know, plugging along. Yes. I've been very busy and very grateful to be so. Have some fun things coming out. I'm in this movie called Senior Year that's coming out on Netflix, May 13th. So check it out. It's going to be a wild ride. But yeah, everything's good. Just you know, trying to continue to exist on this planet that's slowly dying.
That's a fantastic answer to like how
are you
doing?
Dark? So we start as I mean, look, yeah, we're talking about Easter, right? So I think it's fine here. Yeah, it's actually wild to think about the fact that we talked to you. Is it before COVID?
Yeah, it was. Yeah, it was Survivor 39.
Yeah.
Whoa, that's so. Oh my gosh,
to think
yes.
about how the world has changed.
Yes.
Yeah, it's fitting.
A lot is going on. A lot is going on.
Well, speaking of everything that's been going on, even outside of these couple of hours, Mary, what have you thought about the quote unquote new era of Survivor, especially as someone, right, who is like such a devoted fan for so many years? How have you thought about the direction that the past couple seasons have been going?
Well, this is what I really appreciate about Survivor and why I think the show itself has such longevity and just continues to find new audiences while still hanging on to their, you know, loyal audiences over the decades it's been a show. And I think it's the thing that I love about it is that they're constantly adapting and trying new things and pushing there's no complacency on Survivor. And I appreciate that so much. And so even if there are things thrown into the game in this new era that maybe don't work or are a little too much, too many bells and whistles, I just love that they try things and are constantly trying to evolve with the game. So I think it's great. I'm having a really great time. I love hearing all the analyses of these different twists and turns in the game. And all the casts are so fantastic in this mm-hmm. new era and in the old era as well. But so many great characters, and every single one of them is like a serious game player, like wants to come and play the game. And it's just been so exciting to watch them battle it out.
Are there any particular, I guess, either twists or new advantages that you've found to really enjoy?
Well, I love this amulet advantage. I love how it was introduced in the first challenge. The nerves are so high. I can't even imagine. They covered themselves in blood. It was just so funny to like force a game decision in one of the most chaotic and heightened moments in the game. It's like your first challenge. You want to perform well. It's you're mm-hmm. creating first impressions with everybody. And then you have to make a huge decision. So I love that it's forced a relationship between these three people, and watching that come to fruition in this episode and then finally, you know, touch base about it. Yeah. I think the advantages are doing what it feels like they're meant to do, which is how can we complicate behavior and initiate relationships that might not have been initiated otherwise.
Let me ask about the idol phrases, because as someone who does come from the world of improv, like, do you think you would be someone who's natural to do that, to essentially be like, okay, give me a suggestion of a sentence to say on the mat of Survivor?
Need an animal?
Yes, I would. Oh my gosh. I really think I would find some way to tie it in somewhat organically. I thought Drea and Marianne both did that so beautifully with their phrases. Like, they really like found a way to, how can I take what we're currently talking about and just sort of weave this phrase in? And then it made me laugh so hard that Mike was like, I'm not even going to bother. I think I'll just say it. Yeah. And we're not talking about soccer at all, but I'm going to just say it. And it was such a hilarious moment to me, but I would really have fun trying to make it feel as conversational as possible. Bunny rabbits, mailboxes. These are things I talk about every day. You know what I mean? So it wouldn't be hard.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, that was the part of the thing that we've been thinking about with Marianne, is that it seems like she's just saying lots of kooky things all the time. Yeah. And so it just fit right in with part of her personality. So I think that that's definitely a benefit for sure.
It's like, this is a fable she knows, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously.
Maybe that's the thing is, we don't know if this is continuing for the next seasons, but like, maybe you should come in and try to be that shoehorned in metaphor person, right? Like, almost like John Oliver-esque of like, it's like this thing. It's like stepping in a puddle of grapes. And then just so you keep saying these odd things that when you do have to say something, like, oh God, all right, that's Mike. He just talks weird stuff all the time. So I guess it's par for the course.
Yeah, that is a great strategy. I love that.
So let's talk about this 2-hour episode. A lot of, you know, acclaim behind it. I mean, listen, I would love in a perfect world if we had every merge episode be a 2-hour episode, because it is such an important part of the show that I am so happy that the vote may have still been confusing, but there were so many really cool scenes and interactions that we got. And we'll certainly talk about it. But going back to the twists. All right, Liana, take two on the hourglass. are we smashing this twist now forevermore? Or are you saying, like, there's something there? They're continuing to make tweaks onto it.
Well, obviously, Jeff and the team, very aware of all the variables that they could change, including the reward food, which Apple apparently, beans. Yes, one of the most important. That's what I've been saying for every part of every twist. It's all about the food. OK, I don't know why we're talking about powers the way it's executed. It's all about the Applebee's. Yeah, I maybe it's just because it was more palatable this time around because I was mentally prepared for it, or because it was in the course of a 2-hour episode, whereas with season 41, it was split up over the course of 2 episodes. So I was prepared for it, but it still just seems like the concept of you're safe. Okay, no, psych, you're not safe. There's something weird about that in the game of Survivor, but also these are all fake rules that we've made up anyway. So I don't know.
isn't that society, though? A bunch of like, true. Hey, Hammurabi created the code that we followed. They blew by back in whatever BC, and now we have to follow those laws. Why?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Why? So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, Mary, what did you feel about this with this twist?
Yeah, I I'm a fan of Applebee's. And so I thought the specificity of the food reward, it really did do. Yes, it did something for these players of like, I am not going to give this up if I get this. I also think, there's room for like an ASMR, a specific ASMR of Jeff Probst describing food.
Oh, ASMR.
Yes, the way he said a whiskey burger or whiskey bacon burger, it was it made me salivate, and I have access to that, you know, very easily. So I think he did such a good job, of course, of selling the Applebee's to the players. And I really loved this twist of it, where it was the winning team could elect to send one of their own to have this, you know, game changing power. I thought that was a cool twist on it. And it did feel like he let everybody know, like, this is game changing, you know, sort of everyone was aware that it was going to be a big thing, which I think was good. Like they weren't totally blindsided by how big it was. Mm-hmm. Right.
It allowed the players to speculate about what they thought it was because they were emphasizing, or Jeff was emphasizing, it was such a big deal, where we actually see Drea and even I think when High is strategizing before, they both are taking into account the fact that this could be a switcheroo where, you know, the other group is actually the one that's safe. So they kind of had the somewhat ability to mentally prepare for the twist.
That being said, you're still trying to make a hot pocket gourmet, right? You're still like, well, the twist itself is not a fantastic idea, but we added some things to maybe help with it. I definitely agree with that it maybe went from an F to like a D minus, but I agree with Liana. It's still even less so to me, the idea of like, you're safe, now you're not safe. I don't know how I feel about like having only half the group not safe, because I feel like it's really unfortunate, and we've seen it here twice in a manner of speaking. Last season, like, Sydney seemed like she was in a fine place, but because of the particular configuration of people that she drew a rock with and then got reversed, she all of a sudden was in the firing line. Same thing with Lydia here. You know, Lydia herself professed that, like, she probably was not going to be your prototypical merge boo necessarily, but, like, because she was up against a very certain group of people, because, like, Chanel was safe because Tori had won immunity. But I guess on the other hand, like, does that help things? Because then it's less predictable stuff and it's more exciting things. I'm not entirely sure. To go back to your point, Mary, I was obsessed with Jeff talking about Applebee, specifically about the fact that, like, you know, we do ad copy sometimes, and, you know, like, there's the must read text. I feel like Jeff's must read text included like the entire front page menu. Like, he went copiously through at least 5 different items that they had.
I know. He described the wings as crispy on the outside, tender on the inside. And I really love any kind of insight I can glean into Jeff's, and this came up later in the episode too, into Jeff's like personal preferences what does he like from Applebee's? And I feel like he sounds like a wingman to me. He loves crispy on the outside, tender on the inside. He really, so I like cling on to anything Jeff says for any sort of like, what do you like, Jeff? Like, how can I get to know you better? And this came up later in the episode when he shared this fact about himself that he moved in high school from Wichita to Seattle. And I was like, Jeff, this is like a formative part of his youth. Anyway, but yes, I really loved that moment of him describing the food from Applebee's, and I could watch it forever.
Do you feel like, so, okay, so the whole story, I was also fascinated by his Wichita to Seattle move story.
We all were, because Jeff Probst, as a host, like, say what you want to about the way he does the report at Tribal Council, but like, he very much keeps himself out.
Oh, yes. Right. Yes.
But he decides in this moment, like, let me pull a Tyra. Let me be like, this reminds me of when I moved schools. When I went from high school, no, not you, high. I wasn't in school with you, to become essentially a different person. It was just odd, wild personalization.
I know. Yes.
Maybe he was like a burger guy before, and now he's a wings guy. And that was part of that different version of himself. It's all tied back into the food.
Yes. It all goes back to Applebee's, mm-hmm. as everything does.
Yeah. In life.
In life, everything goes back to Applebee's. Yeah.
Well, okay. I do want to like step back one sec to the twist again, because like hearing you guys talk about it, what it sounds like to me is, as a viewer, what is your tolerance for luck? And it's like a balance of agency to luck. Because Mike, what you're saying is, well, more of it was luck for Lydia to end up in the situation, or for Sydney to end up in the situation, versus agency. And I think that as a viewer, you kind of make a decision of how much you want these randomness or luck to play into how the game unfolds.
Yeah. Yeah, that's such a great point. I personally like my luck like I like my cinnamon. Oh, just a sprinkling. you don't want a spoonful of cinnamon, you know.
No, right? That's a whole challenge around that.
That's right. Yeah, there's a whole challenge. So I like a little bit of luck, like the luck of finding an idol or finding an idol clue, or, you know, these things that have really been baked into the fabric of the game, I think are fun, and they inform the game and inform behavior in a way that's not drastic. I will always prefer watching people negotiate a situation using their wit and their social, you know, prowess alone. Like I always think that's so fascinating. And that's part of what we love, is like watching these people, navigate these relationships without any additional help. What does that look like? Mm-hmm. So that's my luck tolerance. Just a dash, just a smooch.
Kiss it. To me, I think what also is tough about this is, you know, it's almost distinct to me from the thing that they did last season, and we'll probably do this season as well, right? The let's randomly divide into two groups, and one group votes out this person, one group votes out this person, like the Evie and Nasir stuff. And that can be tough as well, right? Because if you get a bad draw of people, then like that sucks. I think my bigger issue with this is that it's at the merge, right? It's that what I like about just a straight up merge vote is you don't know these people. You're just getting to know them. Like,
yes,
let's suss out the dynamics with no frills, with nothing judged on top of it. And like, let's see where the chips fall. And it might be more straightforward. It might be like, let's dump all our votes onto one person. But at least like you have a general sense as to who the other people are. Now, granted, again, that did sort of happen and put things into like really a hyper focus with only a few people being safe. But I prefer it to be a bit more natural of just a regular vote, and then maybe do this thing like a couple of votes from now. So that way, at least things are figured out a bit more, rather than just having so much new all at once.
Or even make it. Yes. And or even have the hourglass going back in time. And this has just occurred to me, but have that happen with one player, like reverse the outcome of like an individual immunity challenge. I don't know how that would look, but it does feel like it gives such, it tilts the scale so intensely that it does feel like we can't, but maybe the other side of that is it does like force working relationships to happen faster than maybe they would have if there had not been that that twist to it.
Hmm. Okay, what if the hourglass is something that you somehow get this advantage and it allows you to turn back time, but you can pick and choose whenever you want to use it?
Yeah, like an advantage proper. Yeah. You can use it in the next three rounds or something.
Yeah, up to final, whatever.
Like a tiny hourglass. It's like, when you put it in your pocket.
Yeah.
You can carry it around.
Well, yeah, because otherwise, like, you're going to have to bring it to every challenge, right, when you want to use it. Like,
your big hourglass.
I think that's interesting. That's a fun, let's make that hourglass mobile. Let's, like, get it on the road, you know?
Yeah, let's do, like, the pocket games version, right? Like, yeah. Oh, for the car.
Is it a tiny hammer also then?
Yeah,
right?
Yes. You could put them on a necklace where both of them are like the two little charms on the necklace. And then
you're like, tink.
Yeah.
Just like a little one grain of sand comes out.
Yeah.
I did love Roxroy being like, hey, Jeff, does this thing actually measure an hour? Because I've counted it out. Like, of all the things. Roxroy spent his time sitting there for a full hour being like 1/1000, 2/1000.
he made me cry. Him talking about like taking in these views of Fiji and you know, how he's potentially losing his eyesight. Like, it was such a moving moment of him really soaking this moment in and being so grateful for this beautiful planet. And then undercutting it with talking about his nagging wife. And then, it really made me laugh. He's so funny.
Well, you know what I realized? Like, I came to this realization while I was watching the episode. Roxroy is the personification of the classic sitcom husband. I just realized it, right?
Like, funny. Yes.
Oh, my wife's nagging me all the time. He's constantly complaining about the kids, right? Yes. Always having to work all the time, but also like grousing about it, like very, almost like Hank Hill-esque, very like old school of like, this thing isn't right. We shouldn't be doing it this way. That's what I've realized. He sort of is like that personification of that trope finally stepping, I guess, not out of the screen because he's still on the screen, but like actually brought out in the form of this one person.
Yes. And you know what I also love about Roxroy is that he's very self-aware. Like, hearing him talk about how he's a predictable player and he's aware that makes him an asset to people. And I think that I feel like I haven't really seen that before of a player who is reliably predictable saying, this is what I bring to the table, is like, I'm predictable. You can rely on me. And I thought that was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, here's why it's a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, and we see that reflected with Drea, although Drea's decision-making also is like questionable at times, but she included Roxroy in the alliance and not Romeo, even though we've been set up previously to see her relationship with Romeo. It was actually Roxroy who she pulled into the eight.
But did she? Because Roxroy,
I don't know.
But then he didn't vote. Yeah.
He voted for Lindsay, which sounds like the way that you spell her name if she was like born in 2003 and like her parents were trying to make her cool, like Lynze. I have no idea what was happening there.
I'm so curious.
So it was I think it was like 6-2 to 2-1 or something like that. Some scattered vote.
And they kept talking about the eight, and in the initial conversations of the eight, and let me know if I'm skipping ahead and you want
to. I mean, listen, we are all over the place.
We're all over the place. Okay, great. In the initial conversation of the eight, it was, Drea was like, I can pull in Roxroy. And then High like kind of summarized, okay, this is the eight. But then Roxroy wasn't in the vote, but Marianne was. If I remember how the votes
Yeah, you're right. Because the six Lydia votes were Drea, High, Jonathan, Lindsay, Marianne, and Mike. And I would imagine, like, I don't know if there were, because like Tori and Chanel voted Jonathan. I don't know if they were brought in to like throw a couple of votes onto Jonathan. You know, I talked with Lydia about why she voted Marianne, and it seemed like from her perspective, right, in her configuration of the eight, the plan was like, split votes between Jonathan and Marianne, and Romeo did that as well.
Right.
So like, I don't know if they were both left out of the play. I guess the question is like, was there a 6+ Omer who determined this vote and everyone else thought it was another plan and just voted that way?
Right. There's a couple different versions of the eight happening.
Yeah. It's interesting because when I went back to look at it only being 6-2-2-1, if Mike and Hai had not voted for Lydia and they had instead put their votes on either Jonathan or Marianne, it would have been a 4-4-2-1, which would have made a tie and a revote situation, which I think would have been really interesting.
Yeah.
So that it's just like, it's so fascinating to me that Hai, who would be willing to go to rocks for Lydia, then didn't do the same thing. I don't know. Maybe he feels like grass is greener with this new group or something like that.
Well, and also Mike said that at the beginning of the episode, we see them coming back from that tribal and Mike's like, I would take a bullet for Lydia and Hai. And then at the end of the episode, he's like, hi, Lydia.
He's like, whoops, sorry, bang.
Yeah. Yes, it is so interesting. I mean, I cannot wait for this next episode to hear Hai talk us through that, because he also said this sort of this thing before they went to tribal where he was like, this is the moment where good players fold and great players, how did he put it? Great players triumph or it was,
yeah,
something
it was like prevail or persevere prevail. Or something like that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I can't wait to hear his logic with that.
It is really interesting. I think it might just have been a matter to him of like, when you're on a small tribe and he was very much in a position where like his vote was a vote that mattered, he was able to sort of stand his ground and be like, no, Lydia must not go. And then here on this larger tribe, right, when you're one of 11 people voting and you have several people approaching you being like, it's Lydia, it's a lot harder to stand against that tide, that hide.
And you don't want to stand out by standing up against it. Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
To be like, no, especially as a first impression too.
Oh
right?
My gosh, yeah.
But it should be noted that like he does approach Jonathan being like, I told Lydia I would go to rocks for her. I say the same thing to you. If I'm Jonathan, I'm like, oh, I don't know now. I saw what happened to that last time.
Yeah. Right. And I really loved watching the different sort of the drivers in the group kind of emerge and try to steer the boat. I thought that was so fun to watch and so interesting.
And that's the thing. There's been like a lot of alphas on each one of these tribes. Totally. And you always wonder what happens. Like we saw this last season with like, how do Evie, Shan and Deshaun come together, and that was a little cataclysmic, and it was interesting to watch. You know, it seemed like from our perspective, Hai, Drea, and probably Jonathan, or maybe even Omer, I guess, come together to see like, okay, are they gonna work together, or do they, you know, want to cut each other?
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
This is really interesting because I think that the move to save Marianne, I think, really puts Orange in this power position, because if the eight is real, then theoretically there's people from blue, green, and orange that can all go. And they should have just voted out Marianne, theoretically, if the Orange Tribe was willing to sort of merge into this group of eight. But we didn't see that happen. And so I wonder if things are going to go back to status quo with Tori and Chanel being the next two targets, or if I was high or Drea, I would say, this is a red flag. The fact that they were not willing to let Marianne go, that's going to be an issue. It means that they're trying to stay orange strong, and the eight is maybe not necessarily a real thing, or they're going to keep Marianne along the way so then they can take control later on. So that would be like major red flags to me, but I don't know. We'll see.
Red flag emoji, red flag emoji, red flag emoji.
Yes, red flag emojis abound. I also, like, I do think it's actually the outcome of this twist where the more physically dominant players have all come together, and also all the players with all of the advantages have come together, like the big threats at this point in the game all coming together. We would never see that. That feels like such a rare thing that happens. But I don't think there's any way that this eight will stay together beyond a vote or two. Like, I feel like it's already splintering. But I think that there's machinations happening and an awareness of the threat level of the people around them. It just feels like there's no way that they don't go after each other.
Oh, yeah, completely. Yeah. I mean, looking further than like Survivor David versus Goliath, right? Where initially you have this group of Davids say, we have all these powers, let's put them together and start taking out Goliaths. And that works to a certain extent. But Survivor, you naturally get hungry, and not just for Applebee's. And you're like, but I don't need to. I don't want to go to the five with these people. So like, let's start taking them out. I very much get a sense of that here, that I think you could very easily look at the other people and be like, they have an idol. I want to get rid of that before they use it against me. What I find so interesting is the bald faced lies going on here, where they're like, oh, I have an idol and I don't think anyone else knows about it. And Liana, you and I talked last week that we're fairly sure everyone, with the exception of maybe Tori and Roxroy, know about the idol. So I don't know why everyone's trying to put up a front of like, nobody else knows about this thing. It's just the three of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that is interesting, because also, even if you didn't know specifically who had the idol, I mean, the clue itself was shared with so many people that you would know the phrases. If you heard that, you would know who has them.
Well, and Mike had extensive conversations with his entire tribe about whether he should or should not say his phrase. So that's very much out in the open.
Right. And Marianne shared her, she has been so open and sharing about her advantages with her tribe. So
exactly.
And I thought Omer's logic there was interesting, where he was like, because the vote was initially for Marianne, or that was the discussion. And then Omer saying, I'm going to need that firepower that Marianne has. And so I guess I would think like, oh my gosh, she has a lot of power. Maybe we should try to blindside her and like get that firepower out of the game. But Omer's like, no, I can. This is like, this is my army.
Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah. I do feel like, and the editing has been really great this season. I do feel like there's something missing with that, because I feel like Omer would only make that decision if he truly believed like, I have control over her, right? That like, I have a working relationship with her.
Right.
And we don't, we haven't necessarily see that. So I guess,
yes,
I think that's what, and I think that's what's setting us up for, is I think we're looking at the classic tale of the bunny in the mailbox, and you reach into the mailbox and the bunny bites your hand. I think that Marianne is going to eventually turn on the Takus, that they sort of lament the decision of keeping her around, because a lot of like the scenes we've seen from Taku right as of late is like, Marianne's annoying us. Marianne is someone who we don't necessarily gel well with. She nearly went at the tribal council that they went to. So I feel like that's what we're being set up for.
Mm-hmm. And also, we're seeing Marianne be such a savvy social player. We're seeing her have all these conversations with all these people, and really bonding with people. Like, she and Romeo seem to strike up a connection. So yes, I think Marianne, they might lament that they didn't get her out when they have the chance, because I think she's quite savvy. She can move around a bit. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do wonder if these people who were left out of the vote are going to come together, you know, if Romeo and Tori and Chanel and Roxroy and, oh no, not, well, not Roxroy. I want to know what happened with Roxroy.
We don't know.
Maybe. Yeah. But yes, if they're all going to come together and try to shake things up a bit.
Yeah. Marianne strikes me as also the type of person that is not the biggest threat on everybody's list. Not that she's not a threat. It's that other people don't perceive her as a threat. And so now that she's sort of been able to make it through what should have been the quote unquote easy vote, they weren't talking about it like, oh, well, Marianne's a threat, we have to get her out. It was like, well, she's not one of us, so we'll get her out. She's not a strong player, so we'll get her out. And then that type of person, especially if they have that more subtle social game, is able to just quietly work in the background. And if she can make it deep and isn't targeted by that big group, could do some real damage with her firepower or her arsenal, as Omer was saying.
Yes, that's her. Yes, totally. She really can.
Let me throw out a question here to that point about, like, to Mary's thing about, you know, should the ones on the outside come together? Will Tori and Roxroy ever vote together again for the rest of the season? Thumbs up or thumbs down?
There's no way.
I think definitely no way. It was so funny, that scene where she's like trying to get information from him. They sounded like they, speaking of like a sitcom couple, if they sounded like they have been in, known each other for decades and are so comfortable fighting with each other. it was so funny to me. But no, I don't think there's any way. I think Roxroy, he strikes me as somebody who's like super loyal. But if he doesn't trust you or he finds you shifty, he's not, you're not getting back in those good graces. Not that he doesn't have like forgiveness or anything, but it just feels like too many things have happened with Tori where he wouldn't trust her.
Well, and then look no further than when Roxroy announces that he smashes the hourglass, and Tori was like,
"No further."
We gave that to you. We gave you that. Yeah,
that was a gift.
Yeah. So how dare you use that gift?
And listen, that was some fast spin on Tori's part.
Yeah.
It, in a way where I was like, "Wow, I gotta give her props." That was like, what a way to like take a moment and be like, and that was intentional. I loved it. I thought it was such a great moment.
And then she has the gall to, like, after she wins, be like, oh, I'm okay, thank you for, like, see, Roxroy, this is what you do. You take the opportunity. This is a gift, actually.
So good. She's such a great political moment for her, like working the politics of that exchange. It's so funny.
All right, well, let's start getting into some stuff, our usual fare here on the B&B. Let's start with talking about the preseason predictions for our boot here in Lydia, who, now this is really interesting, because I haven't thought about a player in a while, Liana, that falls under this category of, like, I thought she was good on the show. You had that really nice moment last time, but I think her online footprint absolutely supersedes the time that she had on the show. I don't know. Can you think of, like, someone in recent memory who has similarly had that type of reputation?
I know people who have made people upset on social media after the game or during the game. I don't think we rarely see it the other way around, where the player was not really shown on the show, but then has such a strong social media presence. I mean, when I saw that her Twitter name was Lydia Chlamydia, it's like, okay, I'm in. I'm done. I'm here for this.
Yes. Oh, she's incredible. She's so funny. And she also strikes me as somebody who, like, people would just socially love to be around her. Like, I'm sure she made friends with everybody out there. But that moment with Lydia, I've so related to her in this moment when Chanel was like, so what were you guys talking about? And Lydia was like, oh gosh. You know, Rocks Roy, and you know, I like, and Chanel, of course, like sniffed it out, but I like so related to Lydia in that moment of how do you, you really have to, I guess, come, and I would love to hear what you all think about this. You have to come prepared for any person to approach you about any conversation, and you have to have a story ready for that. Mm-hmm. So that you do, so you don't come off as like, like not landing on something. Cause I would, there's no, if Chanel had come up to me and be like, what were you talking about? I'd be like, oh my God, fish. Can you believe fish? There's so many fish. Oh my God.
Wow.
Oh. Anyway, I'm tired. I gotta go to bed.
Well, I mean, you're doing a little an approximation of like, from the edited perspective, right? What that right. group was doing. Cause when Chanel walked up, they're
yes,
like,
yes, yes. Oh, that's
okay. I'm gonna go crabbing now. Goodbye.
Oh my God. And that was so, because we saw it multiple times, right? We saw it with the conversation with Lydia that you're talking about, Mary. And then we also saw it with the group when she came up to the group. And the second time, I only noticed this on the rewatch, but Hai goes, we have to stay and talk because last time we all left and he's trying to talk and they all just go, push, completely scattered.
It's also, that edit was so interesting to me because they came, it was like they really let a silence happen when Chanel first came up. And I feel like what I was watching with Chanel is like her wheels are turning. She's like taking all this in and trying to like figure out what she just walked into. And everyone's just standing there like, like no one is jumping in, and then they all scatter. And it's like, oh yes, if I were Chanel, I'd be like, oh no.
Yes.
Well, again, to go back to the improv thing, it is very much that moment when everyone's on the back wall and they have a suggestion.
That's
and you're just waiting for someone to step out and
someone initiate a scene.
And I tried to. And then they're just like,
I tried to. And then he got no support from the back line. And that's really tough because you, I have, and that's happened to me before where I've been in an improv show and it's like, oh, we do our opening and it, or we get the suggestion. Everyone steps back. No one has an idea. The silence, it feels like 1 second lasts 25 years. It's like the most heavy silence. And then I have multiple times just been like, I have no idea, but I'm just going to step out and I might die. Like no one's, like you just trust that someone's going to come out and help you. But no one did in that moment for Hai. It's tough.
that's so tough. It's interesting because sometimes players, former players have talked about, oh, I had a feeling. I had a feeling it was me. I had a feeling it was me. It was like, okay, if it's things like this, I can understand why you had that feeling.
Yes.
Well, that's the thing is that what I love about this cast is they are terrible at keeping secrets. Like, do not give any of them any nuclear codes because like then the planet is
doomed. Sharing. Yes. Yes, it's so true.
But then like when they try not to, like when I talked with several people who played the shot in the dark, it's because like they would sit there and someone's like, oh boy, I'm really gonna miss Marianne. Too bad we have to vote her out tonight. And they're like, I see through your third grade performance here. This is clearly me. It's clearly me tonight.
I thought that was such a theme. That's been a theme, I feel like, in this new era, but especially in this episode is, and it's always been true in Survivor, is whoever is getting the information has the power. Like more information you have, more power you have, but there's an additional step to that. Of course, which is what you then do with that information, how you take that information and either just hold it or take it and use it in the way that Omer did, of like seizing an opportunity that information will, you know, present to you. But I definitely feel like the information is a heavy theme in this new era. It's like the sharing of information, the total openness of all these advantages that in seasons past would have been kept so secret.
Well, we know knowledge is power. So
that's what they say.
That's what they say.
That's what they say. And it really is. And then so it's knowledge is power. And then how do I leverage that knowledge to get more power?
Knowledge is power is just the beginning.
That's just the beginning, baby. That's just the beginning.
So, Liana, when it came to Lydia, because Lydia was certainly, I think, a personality in a lot of the Priesties in between the interviews and like her questionnaire and everything. But how did you think she was going to do in the preseason?
Okay, so I did have Lydia being pre-jury.
Oh, nice.
But I said that with her Gen Z energy, Lydia was such a fun character on the show and takes over the confessional game once Daniel leaves. So that didn't
work. Okay, that covered one episode.
Yeah, right. And then I said, unfortunately, she was perceived as weak in challenges by her tribe and would be the second boot after Daniel was on left on green, just missing the jury. And I said that she would have a segment on the show where she teaches the tribe all about all things TikTok, which Mike does not like, thinking it's a waste of time. I said that Lydia does not play her shot in the dark. Her ally was Chanel and her enemy was Mike.
Interesting. Oh. I mean, I could imagine a segment, right, where Mike's like, what is this, clock? Why are you talking about clock so much? There's no clocks here.
Oh, God. Mike is so funny. And Mike is a very fluid social player. My goodness, he's making connections with everybody.
What I find it so interesting that we had, again, one of the reasons why I love this two-hour episode is because we got to see so many really great personal connections that, again, I feel like maybe unlike season 41, season 42 feel more naturally shoehorned in. We're like, yes, there is a lot of just like front-loaded content, but it feels more like it naturally comes up at camp more so than like, let me sit down and talk to you about this. And for some reason, I guess it's you know, there's a reason why we have these conversations with Jonathan, with Omer, that the other person in the conversation is Mike. That there's just something about him that allows people to be like, yeah, you know what? I could tell you my life story, which is so odd because you would imagine that that would be more fitting for, I don't know, the therapist instead of the retired firefighter.
Right. Right. Yes. I feel like there's something about Mike where he strikes me as so non-judgmental. Like, I think it really pulls people in where he finds, he loves to hear people, it sounds like. He loves to hear their stories. And then he finds things within those stories to connect to himself. And strikes me as someone who welcomes those conversations. Someone else whose energy I really love is Drea. I think Drea she's so calm and in control of her. She never seems like frazzled or thrown in any way. And I feel like if I were out there, my energy would be the exact opposite, but I would be so drawn to Drea. I'd be like, okay, Drea knows what's going on. Drea's calm. Like, I can really trust Drea. And it's interesting to think about the qualities of people that do, even without having a conversation with them, that do make you inherently trust them, like right off the bat. And that's so important in the merge when you're just meeting these people for the first time. Those qualities are so important.
All right. So I, as people know, ran a Brant Steel simulator. I left things. I sprinkled the whole canister of cinnamon onto this. I put all luck into my predictions.
God. Okay. Okay. Okay.
So I had Lydia making the jury. I said that she made quick bonds with people like Kai and Daniel. She has a major meltdown in the pre-merge and almost quits the game, but she decides to stay.
Wow.
And essentially the post-merge is her constantly being in the minority of votes, that like her allies consistently leave her out of plans. And she gets voted out when Mike turns on her to grab the loose players, seeing her as a threat. Her closest ally was Daniel and her worst enemy was also Mike. So I guess we were really talking like about a generational gap. Here.
That's interesting. I mean, she definitely, I think there's a lot of nuggets there. She's being left out of the vote because her sort of allies either don't trust her, don't want her there. I mean, that happened with the first vote, right? Where it was like her theoretical allies of Chanel and Daniel. And then it happened here, her theoretical allies of Hai and Mike. So, does seem like a pattern.
Yeah. Right. I'm so bummed about it. I would be bummed about and have been bummed about any of these players going.
That was my thing as well. When I was seeing like who is safe and who is not safe, I'm like, but I don't really want to lose any of them.
Want to lose any of them. And I was curious I listened to the Know-It-Alls, and I think Stephen had a great point where he was saying with High and Lydia were so close, and that was such a known pair, that maybe it does make sense for them to, for High to then be like, oh, I need to, like, you know, not be a part of a strong pair within this group to make myself less of a target. But yeah, I was really excited to see what sort of strategic moves Lydia was going to make post merge.
Yeah, it is interesting because I do feel like, at least from like what we saw on the show, I'm not sure. And I don't know if it was an age thing, if it was like, you know, just the way she compared herself to others. Like there wasn't too much gaming we saw
right.
from her perspective. The only thing we really saw was like she was the one to really put out Jonathan's name, which I think does make sense in many ways. And I'm very surprised that I guess this group was able to say, yeah, we'll start with Jonathan. And then they sort of moved away to Marianne and then like back to Jonathan, but then yeah. ended up Lydia at the end of the mm-hmm. day. But I do, maybe more time would have helped it. But she seemed to me like someone who built relationships first and then maybe made decisions based on that rather than in yeah. comparison to someone like High, who's like, all right, now it's time to game. I can't wait. I can't just sit back and, you know, bank bonds with people. I actually have to weaponize these things.
Yes. And also people were after Lydia, but pre-merge too, like her, yeah. her tribe, like she was like, she's had her name out there quite a bit. And so I would imagine that you definitely want to like not put yourself out there and, you know, draw more attention to yourself in that case. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. So Mary, you are the one that holds the hourglass right now. You get to figure out between Liana and myself / the brand steel. Who had the better finger on the pulse of how Lydia would do?
Gosh. Okay. Well, first of all, is my hourglass tiny or big?
Oh, it can be whatever size you want it to be.
Okay. Okay. I want mine to be tiny.
Yay.
Okay. 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 Well, I mean, if you both had some overlapping theories, I think I'm going to have to go with Liana. I feel like her prediction, it was correct. You know, she did go out pre-merge.
Yeah. That simulation. Yeah, just say, like, ding, ding, ding.
There you go. The robots are just being really slaughtered here. I was also just thinking, like, this is how stupid my mind is. I just kept thinking for the past few minutes, like, High and Dry, High Andrea, is that a thing? I don't know if that's a thing.
Hydrangea?
Okay.
Hydrated?
Let's workshop this. Yes. Yes, I think that's going to be a very powerful alliance. For sure. Mm-hmm. Those two.
That's the thing though. I don't, yeah, like they on paper would do so well for each other.
Yes.
But I feel like they're both such alphas, to use a certain term, that like I don't know if they'll want to work together for very long.
Right.
Yeah, yes. We'll see. There was one conversation when High was trying to flip the vote back to Marianne where Drea was just, it's so subtle, but Drea's just kind of looking at him being like, because High is trying to say, well, what's happening?
She's like, remember that.
Like, I don't know. So I don't know. There could be some conflict there, but I would love in my fanfic for them to work together.
Yeah. That's what I love about Drea, too, to your point. Mary is like she is very social, but she is so straightforward. I loved the straight man stuff going on at Tribal Council, right? With Marianne being like,
amazing.
Oh, blah, blah, blah. And Drea's like, I disagree. And she's like, no, no, but we're on the same page. She's like, no, we're not. We're not at all. Like, it's
love it.
So fun.
It was incredible. And I would so, I even wrote down what Marianne said initially when she like made this observation and Jeff asked what Drea thought and Drea said the thing. And Drea's like, I disagree. And then Marianne goes, I was like, oh God, I would do the exact same thing. Marianne was like, okay, that's fine. It's like neutralize any conflict as soon as get on the same page ASAP. It almost doesn't even matter the content of what we're talking about. It, from my perspective, I'd be like, how can I make this okay for everybody right away?
No, you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. But yes, I love how straightforward she is. She's being so smart with her read of people and who she shares information with. Like, She has the most in her. She has the most advantages of anyone, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah. She's got the amulet. She's got an extra vote, and she has an idol.
Yeah. Ugh. Yes. She's being so smart. The fact that she's able to like have people know about all of these things, except for me. Well, no. Like High knows about the amulet, but and still not have her name rise to the to the top of the list, is, it really speaks to how well she's playing this.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, so I want to switch gears a little bit, and we've sort of touched on some of these things, but I want to play our game this week. Roxroy said it's the devil you do versus the devil you don't, but I think...
which doesn't make any sense.
No, it's combining two phrases, I think.
He cut out several words. He cut out the word no. In fact, knowledge is not power here, where he said it's the devil you do versus the devil you don't.
Yes, or you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Oh, that's really what it is. Yeah, because I was like, wait, who's doing the devil? What?
Yeah, wait, what?
Huh?
What does this mean? Well, for us, the devil's in the details. So that's the game that we're going to be playing today. And I could also thought about calling this game just dudes doing weird stuff. It's like 50% Roxroy content that we'll be talking about, and then a little bit of Mike, a little bit of Jonathan in there. So essentially the way that this is going to work is I'm going to ask you a question about something that happened in the episode. I will give you the multiple choice answers, and okay, you will try to guess what is the thing that actually happened.
Okay.
And so the whole concept is that these are things that maybe were more subtle, or, you know, maybe not as obvious. But I'm excited, really excited to get into this game.
Woo!
All right, let's see. Okay. We're going to go. Listen, we're recording on Easter, right? Let's go Easter egg hunting. Find some things that happen in the background.
That's right.
Love it.
Okay. So, Mike, we're going to start. First question is for you.
Okay.
So what does Roxroy say while he's collecting resources for his shelter? And this is on Exile. Okay. Does he say A, organic cordage? Nice, nice. Does he say B, all natural fiber? Let's go. C, biological cable? Wow. Or D, fresh rope? Fabulous.
Okay. I'm obsessed with the terms biological cable and also fresh rope. Fresh rope.
Fresh rope.
Fresh rope sounds like a euphemism for like some sort of strain of weed. Like, yeah, let me get that fresh rope.
Get an ounce of fresh rope.
Let me get a gram of that fresh rope. All right. So I know it's not those first two. I want to say, what was the first one? Natural cord?
It was cordage? Organic cordage. Nice, nice. Or all natural fiber. Let's go.
I feel like the word cordage was in my head for whatever reason, because I remember like being like, wait, what did he say? And rewinding it a couple times. So I think it was organic cordage. Nice, nice.
Right. So yes, Mike, that is correct. 1 point for you here.
I mean, it's also such a weird thing to say. It's like if you told an alien, like, okay, put you in this setting and pretend to be a human stranded in the wilderness, they're like, oh, organic cordage. Nice, nice.
Yeah.
Organic cordage.
Organic cordage.
Nice. Nice.
Yeah, that was the first moment I was like, that's weird. I'm gonna start paying attention to Roxroy. There's some weird stuff here.
Do you think he said on his tribe as well? Like, all right, everyone, let's go get some organic cordage. And they're like, what the hell is he talking about?
Everyone go find as much organic cordage as you can find. If it's not organic, I don't want to see it.
Right. None of this synthetic crap. All right.
Yeah, none of
no GMOs in my cordage. Thank you very much.
If you bring me a bungee, you're out.
All right. We're staying on the Roxroy train. Mary, this question is for you. When Roxroy gets to the top of the hill on his exile island experience, he says what two phrases? A, holy Toledo gee whiz. B, holy moly Jiminy Crickets. C, holy mackerel gee willikers. Or D, holy cow geez Louise.
Oh, oh my gosh. I know this, of course, because it was such an interesting phrase to use. It was holy moly Jiminy Crickets.
That's right. That's correct.
Wow.
Crickets.
Holy moly.
Wow. Between
Jiminy
like the
crickets.
Yeah. Between the Disney Channel intro and now in reference to Jiminy Crickets, like, is CBS going to become absorbed by ABC sometime soon? Or is some merger happening?
We're all getting absorbed by Disney. It's just a matter of time.
We are all Disney.
Holy moly. Yeah. Jiminy Cricket. This is a man who has been conditioned not to swear in front of like anyone for the past 7 years.
Yeah. Apparently.
Right. Totally. Yes. That's a great point.
Apparently. Yeah. Okay. Well, Mike, we're sticking on the Roxroy phrase train. When Roxroy gets his fire going to cook his rice, what does he say? A, gotta love it. What? B, oh gosh, love that. Pop, pop. C, oh, phenomenal. Hot, hot. Or D, amazeballs. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, I don't think Roxroy would genuinely use the word amazeballs. Like, I think even he draws the lines of, oh, this is, like, I can't imagine Roxroy sincerely saying, oh, amazeballs. I remember this one because of the sheer magnitude, if you will, of him saying it. It was the one, I believe it's B, that had the one pop, pop in there.
Yeah. Pop, pop. Okay, I had so much fun writing these other phrases.
Yes, you could tell. You're really selling. Your delivery.
This is like if you were creating like t-shirts to sell in discount stores, and you're like, well, I can't say holy moly Jiminy Cricket. How about like wowie kazowie, wooey wow wow? And some people would just think it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's a knockoff. It's a knockoff brand, Roxroy. Okay, Mary.
Stone Steve.
Yeah. More Roxroy. What does he say while he's cooking his rice on Exile Island? Mm-hmm. Is it, ooh la la, time for some rice. Hip hip hooray, time for some rice.
No, not hip hip hooray.
Yippee-ki-yay, time for some rice. Or yabba-dabba-doo,
no,
time for some rice.
It wasn't yabba-dabba-doo, because I think that would stop me in my tracks if I heard
Yeah, I mean, that would be really showing that it truly is a sitcom character brought to life.
He's Fred Flintstone. What was the first one? Ooh la la.
Okay, the first one was ooh la la, time for some rice. Hip hip hooray, time for some rice. Or yippee-ki-yay, time for some rice.
It wasn't hip hip hooray. I think it was ooh la la.
Okay, so you narrowed it down to the correct answer and the incorrect answer, but unfortunately it was yippee-ki-yay, time for some rice.
Which
just a famous phrase, yippee-ki-yay, time for some rice.
If you remember, John McClane did bust in and was like, I'm so hungry, yippee-ki-yay, time for some rice.
Yeah, that was actually the TV version, right? Was yippee-ki-yay, time for some rice, because they can't say.
Yeah, and then Rockwell was watching with his children, so he didn't realize, I'm pretty sure he said that. I don't know if it's anything else.
That's how they learned the phrase.
I'm humiliated. I can't believe it.
Yippee-ki-yay, time for some rice.
Time for some rice.
What?
Okay.
You know, maybe it was Roxroy the Marianne the entire time of just saying random ass things of like, right? Oh, yeah. I guess the phrase could have worked if it was yippee-ki-yay, time for some rice.
Well, that's why I was like, okay, then maybe he should have gotten the weird phrases, because clearly there's just a lot of they're not like long phrases. They're just, I don't want to call them expletives because clearly they're not curses, but they're these emphasizing statements that he puts at the end or the beginning of sentences, right? Holy moly,
like
Jiminy
declarations,
Cricket. Like, yeah, pop, pop, nice, yippee-ki-yay, organic, well, no, not that one,
organic,
but you know what I'm saying, yeah. All right, Mike, let's go back to you. When Jonathan finds a crab, what does Roxroy say? A, get out of town, amazing. B, holy smokes, you did that. See, heavens to Betsy.
No.
That's a big boy. That's a big boy.
He did not say heavens to Betsy. That's a big boy.
Or D, shut the front door. Oh, baby.
Well, I think C, you stole from High's Tinder bio that he used when he was finding his eventual partner. That's a big boy. All right. Now I need the other three. Sorry, okay. One more time. I was just so fixated on that's a big boy.
I'll leave out heavens to Betsy. That's a big boy, but I will say that's my favorite one I wrote. Okay. Is it A, get out of town, amazing. B, holy smokes, you did that. Or D, shut the front door, oh baby.
Oh, those are all So Rocks, Roy. That's the sitcom he came out of. That's So Rocks, Roy.
That's So Rocks, Roy, yeah.
I don't know. Yeah, so he's definitely not heavens to Betsy. Mm-hmm. I would say, I don't know if he would say you did that. Like, that feels, I don't know. I don't know why I'm so caught up in, like, the I did a thing. That's more of, like, a millennial thing, and Rocks, Roy is not a millennial, so I don't know if that is, he would take that sort of logic. What was A again?
Get out of town. Amazing.
Oh, I think Rocks, Roy would say get out of town, both sincerely and in cheek. So I'm going to go with A.
Okay. So similar to Mary, you narrowed it down to the correct, a correct and incorrect answer. And similar to Mary, you picked the wrong one. It was shut the front door. Oh, baby. Oh, baby.
Oh, baby.
Wow. Oh, baby.
Oh, baby. Shut the front door. Oh, baby.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I thought about including as one of my options, butter my butt and call me a biscuit, but I went with heavens to Betsy. That's a big
rock for a nod. He said, like, butter my derriere.
That's right. But too offensive. Okay, so we're still at a score of 2-1. Mary, this next question is for you. And I promise this is the last Roxroy question. All right, what does Roxroy say to Marianne when the bug lands on him at Tribal Council?
Oh, yeah, the beetle.
Yeah, the beetle, the giant beetle that landed on him.
What does Roxroy say to Marianne?
Okay. Yes, when the bug lands on him.
Yep.
A, we're in his neighborhood. B, this is his neck of the woods. C, we're under his roof. Or D, welcome to his house.
This is like something you say when, like, Roxroy and the Beetle, like, kick down your door as the new police.
I know. Welcome to his house. I know it's definitely A, because I thought that's so nice to acknowledge, like, hey, this is his neighborhood. We're in his cul-de-sac. You know what I mean? Like, this is like, we are having a party in his driveway is the implication. So I love that. It's like, yes, neighborhood, right?
Yep. That's right. It was a block party. We're in his neighborhood. That's the correct phrase. Tied up 2-2.
I love the fact that, like, I could understand why you're like, have that fine sort of like tree hugger attitude about it. I don't understand why he'd let it sit on him for so long, to the point where, like, they did such a fantastic thing where, you know how they do like the dramatic cuts to the people waiting as the votes go in. It panned in on Roxroy's beetle as if, like, he had any voice in the matter, though maybe he did. Maybe the beetle's like, you should vote Lindsay. Here's how you spell it. And Roxroy's like, I believe you. I'm in your neighborhood. I followed your rules.
I was waiting for the talking head of the beetle, right? It's like beetle, zero advantages.
Yeah. Could it be like a Mark the Chicken thing?
Yeah. I mean, I saw somebody that posted, it was a screenshot of, I think, Tiffany from last season with a beetle, it's probably not exactly the same beetle, but in my Disney fantasy where we're all absorbed by Disney, it is the same beetle and it's a recurring character over multiple seasons.
I mean, look, like, a lot of things from Survivor 41, could they have copied the beetle as well?
I know. You never know.
We dropped a bug on the contestants and we'll see how they react this time.
Oh my gosh. And Roxroy played that so cool.
The bug?
Yes. He was just like, yes.
This is an organic brooch.
I brought an organic brooch.
All right, Mike, let's go back to you. This question is, there's a scene while Mike is having an emotional conversation with Jonathan on the beach. They're talking about how they're both blockhead big dudes. But what is between Mike's leg while they're having that conversation? I know,
his
sounds
penis.
Dirty. It's not attached to him.
Yeah!
Okay? Because I assume that that is also between his legs. But anyway, is it A, a rock, B, a stick, C, his shoes, or D, a folded pair of pants?
Oh, wow.
Folded pair of pants. Well, that would imply he had no pants on, which I'm pretty sure I would have seen and noticed if Mike was just sitting there having this heartfelt conversation, like, in his briefs. So I don't think it's a pair of pants. Oh, Lord. So not between a rock, a stick, and his shoes. So they were all...
in a hard place.
Yeah, in a hard place. No, that was attached to his body. So I was thinking about... Okay, so it's... They were sitting... I remember because they were, like, watching the sunset or the sunrise. They're like, oh, this, like, let's put the game aside for a second. I'm going to imagine it was his shoes.
Okay. That is incorrect. It was a stick standing straight up in the sand. He had, like, shoved it in. It was, like, sticking straight up.
Wow. I mean, maybe he was implying, according to Romeo, that's what happens to Mike every time he's around Jonathan. So,
oh, no.
I love that, by the way. I don't know if that was in the quiz, but another fantastic moment of editing, right, is when Romeo's like, we got to get rid of Jonathan. Mike's so far up his ass. Cut to... like Mike being like, oh, I love watching the sunrise view. And it literally pans over like a mockumentary to Romeo just like stewing in the corner watching it all happen. It was incredible.
Incredible.
There were actually a lot of those little moments I just couldn't figure out how to write questions for, essentially. But yeah. Totally. It was super, oh, it was so funny.
Yes. All of these cast members are having such great, like, I feel like I know all of them. Like, they're having such wonderful character moments in this show.
Mary, this question is for you. So we're sticking with the emotional conversations, but this time it's between Hi and Romeo, who are having their emotional conversation about being part of the LGBTQ plus community. But what does Omer do before he joins them? So there's a shot of the two of them, Hi and Romeo, talking, and Omer is right in the middle, and he does one little action before he comes to join them to talk about the game. All right. So, is it A, does Omer point to himself and then to the jungle? Does he awkwardly wave while holding his shoes? Does he clap three times? Or does he lift a log of wood above his head?
I'm sorry, Omer. I don't know why I laughed so like haughtily at that idea.
It's so interesting if he points at himself and then points to the jungle. I was so riveted by that conversation between I and Romeo. I didn't notice this, but I feel like he would awkwardly wave while holding his shoes.
Yes, that is correct.
Nice.
Yes. That's awesome. All right. A point for you. Yeah. It was so fun. That was another moment when I was watching it for the first time. I was like, oh, that's so funny. That because he's just, it's a beautiful shot of the two of them having this emotional conversation. All of a sudden, it's just Omer like in the middle.
Yeah.
It's so funny.
It's that awkward thing when like you're at a party and like two people have a very intense conversation, right? And you're just walking like, okay. All right. I'm going to go now. Nice seeing you.
Okay, so Mike, you have to get this question correct if you want to tie it up. Current score, Mary with 3 points, Mike with 2. Mike, when Jeff tells Lydia, Lindsay, Marianne, Hi, and Jonathan that one of them will be voted out tonight, this is at this is after the immunity challenge, after Tori wins, what hand gesture does Jonathan do? Does he... A, shrug his shoulders. B, wiggle his nose. C, smack his hand to his forehead. Or D, bow and do prayer hands.
Oh, it's D. He does this every single freaking time and has been in my notes every week. From now on, look at every single time Jeff talks with Jonathan, he does like he's on the cover of an album, like a rap album in the 2000s, where he's like namaste. That's exactly what he does. He does it when he wins challenges. He does it when he loses challenges. I know this for a fact. This is exactly what he does.
Okay, yes, yes. How could I tell you you're wrong with that emphatic energy? Yes, he does. He bows and does prayer hands.
Oh my gosh, he has such reverence for Jeff, as do I.
Mr. Jeff.
Lord, I mean,
he does. Yes. Jeff, yes. I can't wait. I'm going to watch for it every time now.
What are your thoughts on Jonathan in general, Mary? Because I know that we sort of had a theory bandied about of like, is he, you know, in the kingdom of the blind, the one-eyed man is king of like, is he just really impressive because of the people he's playing against? Or is he truly worthy of like all the praise that he's doing in these challenges?
I think he's 1000% worthy of all the praise. Like, because he's single-handedly taking on some of the most difficult aspects of these challenges. I mean, I even wrote this down. I am in awe of Jonathan. And there was this moment, which, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I in recent memory have not heard this happen, where when Jonathan vaults over the Easter egg boulder, there is a wonderful motif, the survivor motif swoops in and it goes, it's like the show was like, yes, this is like what we've always wanted in a challenge, is like someone to just give it their all in that way and dominate like that. And I feel like I've never heard that happen before, that theme song come in that specific way. But it felt like they really were underlining it.
I'm trying to think of other contestants who have had such a dramatic contrast between their success and challenges and the rest of everybody else.
Well, I mean, like Ozzy, I'm thinking South Pacific is a good example, right? Of like just a dolphin. But to Mary's point, and I picked this up as well, because we don't get that song ever now because there's no credits. There's no opening intro. Now we're getting it in the form of like Jonathan's intro package of him just hopping up onto that ball. It was really interesting. And we see this in scripted stuff, right? Like if there is a musical motif written for a character that gets brought up, it is very odd that now the original Survivor theme is like Jonathan's anthem.
It's Jonathan's anthem. I know. God, I think he's wonderful and phenomenal. And he's clearly very smart. And like the way he's approaching this game strategically, knowing he is this like dominant physical presence. I'm just, I'm blown away by him on all levels.
To the musical motif, that's why, Mike, because I also think of Ozzy, right? Yeah. And I think what Ozzy represents when it comes to Survivor, of he is the Survivor boy. He is the Survivor golden boy. Like he represents so much about the show. And so if Jonathan they're trying to see Jonathan in that similar light, it totally makes sense that his theme song would be the Survivor music.
Yeah, yes. I mean, I cannot wait. I mean, we're not going to have, obviously, like, we're going to do another right after the season reunion. But, like, if we did one that was the way they usually do, I would be so intrigued to see how many kids that are like, oh, I started swimming out in torrid waters to save people because you did, Jonathan. I started climbing up boulders because you did Jonathan. You really inspired me. I would not be surprised if like Jonathan becomes a favorite among a lot of the kids that were watching. Like, he's so big and strong. He's like a superhero.
Totally. And I think everybody on this tribe too is like the commitment from everybody, the way Drea kept, you know, going at, and the way like that team was working together to all, you know, get over this boulder. I just love whenever I hear Jeff Probst say, that's how you do it on Survivor. If I could have him say that to me as I go through my day and affirm my choices, it would be amazing. This whole cast is, they're really so fully committed and it's amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was trying to figure out how to write a question. How do I describe Mike on the boulder like that, where he's just like starfishing it on the boulder?
Yeah, grab onto my feet. Yeah, grab onto my sneakers.
Yeah.
And then he kicks Dre on the face.
Yeah. It was such a great moment. And when Jeff says that in the challenge, I can't remember who it was to, but it was just, it's so inspirational. That's how you do it on Survivor. Well, speaking of Jeff, Mary, this is your final question. We're all tied up. You could win it here or send it into a tiebreaker that I will be making up on the fly.
Now,
you've talked about this earlier in our recording, and it's all about the food reward, and it's all about Jeff. So what does Jeff say when he reveals the food reward for the challenge, the initial reveal that they will be having Applebee's? Okay. Did he say, A, it's good, it's big, it's Applebee's? Did he say, B, it's hot, it's juicy, it's Applebee's?
No.
Did he say, C, it's great, it's tasty, it's Applebee's? Or did he say, D, it's food, it's here, it's Applebee's?
Listen, all of these are accurate as far as like describing Applebee's,
and it is,
you know,
and it's right here.
It is here.
And it is Applebee's.
I know this for a fact. It's A.
That is correct. Yes, it's good. It's big. It's Applebee's. Well, with that mastery, Mary, you are the winner of the Devil is in the Details challenge.
Wow.
Congratulations. But it was a tight game.
Good game, Mike. Good game.
Thank you. Do you think, is that like Applebee's slogan? Do you think, or do you think Jeff was trying to legitimately talk it up by being like, it's big. It's great.
What's interesting is that when he was talking to us, directed to the camera, he used a different phrase. He said, it's big, it's emotional, it's home. And then when presenting it to the players, it was as good as big as Applebee's. So I feel like he was,
yeah, he said,
yes, that was
said,
in the moment thing.
Because I wrote this down, because this is one of the variables, as Liana talked about. The first variable is that it's Applebee's. He says, that's big, that's emotional, that's home.
Right.
Which is, I don't really get it. Maybe he's trying to like Don Draper it and come up with his own sort of slogan for Applebee's.
Yeah.
Well, from what I remember from Applebee commercials, it's eating good in the neighborhood.
With the Beetle,
because we know it's his neighborhood.
It all ties in.
Yes.
Imagine if it's like you will dine on Applebee's with some of our locals, and it's just a room full of bugs and Applebee's.
No. Oh my gosh. Do you think Jeff, like, obviously they send them the Applebee's food, right? For them to make out there on Survivor. Do you think that not just the contestants, do you think Jeff like orders some stuff on the side for him? Like they get their own Applebee's? Like, could he get the wings?
I bet they do. I mean, I feel like they must, if Applebee's is there, you know what I mean? I feel like they got to feed the whole crew. They got like all the producers. Yeah. Everybody gets Applebee's. This is, look, it's big. It's emotional. It's home. It's great. Home. It's here.
It just keeps like adding sentences on of ways to describe it. Yeah, I would imagine so. And I would also think, I don't know, this is maybe a little gross, but like there's a good chance that like the crew eat not anything that's been like chewed on, but like the leftover food from rewards, right?
Why would you say that?
Well,
like if there's a plate with 7 burgers on it and they eat 5 of them, are they just throwing the other 2 away, or are people like, I'll eat those other 2?
I don't know. I can only imagine that they now have the infrastructure there where everybody's has access to all of this food at all times,
well, they definitely do. I've had the pleasure to go there, like actually.
Oh,
see
have
that.
You?
Yeah, they have like a very nice, you know, establishment. They have like you could have so much food that you could have. So it's a good point. I just wonder, like, because I was thinking about the servers who are actual members of the production crew. They did not fly out Applebee's servers to be there.
I was wondering that. Okay.
But you know, the days I remember my days of working as a server, right, where I'm like, God, I'm hungry, and I would not eat food off of anyone's plate. I would not judge people who necessarily did if they were starving, working 8 hours.
Especially if it's a perfectly good untouched burger. I mean, what are we doing? Are we are we just throwing that away? I hope not.
Yeah, I don't know why I was picturing like the fish that they got as the reward, and the crew was like coming in and snacking on them while they weren't looking or something like that.
Oh man.
An uneaten burger that's like pristine and otherwise would just become food waste. Like, yes, okay, then that's fine. That's different to me than
that's
like what I envisioned in my brain.
It's the most dangerous season yet. Don't turn your back or our crew will eat your food.
No, this is another factor. This is another sprinkling of cinnamon we don't need. No. You can't, because you don't know when the crew's going to like come in. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, that's another like predator you have to protect yourself against, right? Back in the day, it was like lions, and now it's the crew members who are need a nibble of something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, speaking of, I don't know why I said, I don't know why this was a segue. At the end of every week here on the B&B, we dedicate some time for our guests to shine a spotlight on something that exists outside of the island, Applebee's included, a charity or cause that means something to them. I guess, I suppose we're nibbling on, you know, a little bit of tidbits of info that you're going to be giving us, Mary, since knowledge is power. It's all on you this week. Is there a charity or a cause that you want to highlight for the listeners out there?
There is. Well, there across our country, trans rights are under attack. And so I think it's so important that we support as many organizations that are working to defend trans rights across the country, as many as possible. And there are so many great ones to donate to. And the one that I would like to highlight is called the Black Trans Travel Fund. And it's a grassroots Black trans-led collective. It provides Black transgender women with financial and material resources needed to remove barriers to self-determining and accessing safer travel options. So that is their mission statement. And I have donated to this organization before, and I think it's wonderful. So I would like to highlight that.
Absolutely. That's amazing. And yeah, sometimes things work out in a certain way. And I think the conversation that High and Romeo had, obviously being under that same umbrella of the LGBTQ plus and talking about like the different experiences and especially like the overall lesson of not being afraid or ashamed of who you are obviously has become very much in the forefront, especially in recent discourse about, you know, trans rights coming into jeopardy across the country. And so I think it's fantastic, especially on this week, to highlight such a great cause.
Yes. I completely agree. I'm so grateful that Survivor is making it a priority to show these conversations happening and highlighting these stories. They're so important. Thank you. I'm thrilled to be able to lift them up in this moment.
And we're thrilled to have you here to talk about everything. You were truly the sprinkle of cinnamon that we needed this season. So thank you so much again, Mary, for coming. I know it's been a long time, but like it was so much fun. If people want to check out, again, all the things that you are doing, you're a regular Jonathan out there, just like making it done, finding all that organic cordage and building yourself a resume, quite literally. So you mentioned senior year, you've had a couple of other recent projects that you've worked on. Like where are you all about right now?
Oh my gosh. You can find me. Well, I try to, promote the things I'm in on my social media. So, mostly on Instagram, but I have the same handle for Instagram and Twitter, which is at Mary Hollandaise, spelled like the sauce. So you can find me there, and I will share the things that I'm in. But yes, I'm on another show that's on Netflix right now called The Woman in the House Across the Street from the Girl in the Window, which is a very fun little ride, as well. And then, the movie, we're not in Christmas currently, but you can still enjoy, the wonderful Christmas rom-com Happiest Season that is, I believe, still streaming on Hulu. So,
I've checked all that stuff out, and
good.
I'm a few episodes into The Girl, blah 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 blah.
Yes,
very weird, very fun, very funny, yet also very dark at the same time. So,
if people
are really into like the specific genre of like murder mystery with unreliable drunk narrator, like that is. That thread.
This is it. Yes, you gotta get into it, because it really pokes fun at that genre in a very nuanced way that I appreciate. So
And then senior year. Do you want to describe to people a bit like what that might be?
Yeah, senior year is oh my gosh, it's a fun comedy. It stars Rebel Wilson as she plays a woman who was a cheerleader her senior year of high school, and she had an accident, so she goes into a coma, and then she wakes up 20 years later and wants to finish her senior year of high school, but she's now a 37-year-old woman. So So yes, Rebel Wilson and then Sam Richardson and Zoe Chow and Chris Parnell and Justin Hartley and all these wonderful young actors who are so hilarious. There's music. It's just such a party. And especially, you know, as we approach graduation season for 2022, it's the perfect movie to watch to get you in the mood for graduation.
I love that. You sold me. I
mean, yeah, that national holiday of graduation.
Yes, we all know dads and grads. I'm all about the grads.
It gets you in the grad spirit. Yeah.
You just came up with the great season theme, Liana. Survivor 46, dads versus grads.
That is a great theme.
Especially with Jeff being obsessed with casting young people, right? So it like totally fits in. Imagine a whole season of Rocks, Roys, and Swathies.
Yeah. Now, could it be? Now, here's the question. Is it like separate or do you do a blood versus water of a grad and their dad?
I was wondering that, too, if it is the dad and his grad or the grad and their dad. Right. Very interesting. I love it. I'm on board.
Themed season. Seasons. Let's hope.
Let's hope. Yes.
And Liana, of course, you all have everything humming right now when it comes to the reality TV. We're half up speed. How are things going for you this week?
Well, we recorded the Masked Singer podcast, wrapped up group B there. So we have our two finalists and then we'll be going into the final group after that. A mess of a show that some reason still on the air, but whatever.
I can't believe that like 3 weeks they're like, and we'll see you in the finale 2 months from now.
Yeah. It's wild. And then Drag Race, so the reunion was this week. We are taking a pause from our pod. We're going to cover both the reunion and the finale together next week and talk about all of the drama. So pause this week, but we'll be back to cover everything. And then the cast for All Stars Winners was announced with all the promo photos and everything.
Winners in drag.
Winners in drag. Yes. So I think that premieres at middle end of May. So we'll be doing probably some preseason coverage, but definitely for sure coverage of the show proper. And then lastly, the 90 Day Fiance season 9 premiere is tonight. And so Puya and I are going to be covering that. He's taken 90 Day back and I'm going to be the first guest to break everything down from the new couples that we'll be seeing. So lots in the hopper for me.
Are you excited in general? Well, give us like your preview of your takes on the Winners in Drag season of Drag Race.
Oh my gosh, I'm excited. I'm nervous. There's some rumors about the format that is going to be some differences. I was a little disappointed with the UK versus the world sort of international all-stars. And so I'm hoping that some of the issues that maybe they had with that will be corrected for the all winners season. People that I'm excited to see, people I'm maybe not so excited to see, but all in all, I think it's going to be a really fun time.
Yeah, I heard they actually have an hourglass that you have to smash with a stiletto heel to be able to reverse the elimination outcome.
That's right. Yes, it's not so tiny, but you know.
Now I'm just thinking about like the season 14 twist. I'm thinking it's gold, it's chocolate, it's Applebee's.
If only. No, I think that was a lava cake, Mike, or a brownie or something.
Yeah, it wasn't the Thunder from Down Under because that was Outback.
Yes.
Oh, right. Of course.
Speaking of previously sponsored merch fees. So things are hopping with me across the web here. Of course, doing the usual exit press over on Parade.com. Really had a lot of fun speaking with Lydia to like echo what Mary said before. She is just such like a fun presence. She is so matter of fact about certain things. Like I asked, you know, what made you and Hi bond so close? She just went, oh, we're the gay bitches. And then just left it at that. And so I love how blunt she could be with certain things. And she gave a lot of insight as well as to like her own take on things, all her reaction to the twist, obviously, all the chaos that happened with Vati in the premiere. Mm-hmm. So very much recommend you check that out at parade.com. And then over on Post Show Recaps, adding some new coverage to my plate, piling it on with the wings, burgers, and the like. So Barry, which is an HBO show that has been away for some time, a dark comedy starring Bill Hader, Henry Winkler, Stephen Root, Anthony Carrigan, etc., focuses on a hitman who ends up getting bit by the acting bug, not Beetle, and decides to pursue it and get out of a life of crime. That's premiering for season 3. On April 24th, but I kicked off coverage with Deidre Lipsicus, who is a great member of the Post Show Recaps patron community. to talk through the show. We did a big like kickoff podcast about what's the show about in spoiler-free circumstances. And then we talked about what happened in season one just to catch everyone up, because that aired 4 years ago.
Oh my God, that's so wild. Yeah, that's so exciting. It's coming back.
So I've been rewatching season two and like, holy shit, it's such a good show. And
it's so good.
I'm really excited to have that included back in the HBO Old Sunday lineup. Hopefully you are all as well. If you're interested in checking out the show, now you have an excuse to. You have about a week at this point to binge watch it. It's 8 hours. It's really easy. So just check it out if that interests you, and listen to the podcast on post-show recaps, as well as the Lost episode countdowns that we're doing, and maybe some more stuff down the line as well. So that's going to do it this week on the B&B. Next week, we are bringing in a true dear friend of the B&B. Chappelle is going to be joining us to break down episode 8, I guess this technically is, host of Nothing But Netflix, which might cover senior year somewhere down the line.
Oh, we'll see.
We have a podcast on the network, Mary, where essentially every week they cover like something new on Netflix.
Oh, cool.
Or like whether it be a series or a movie or something like that. So Chappelle will come on and give what I'm assuming are going to be his fiery hot takes about everything that has happened so far on the season as the jury begins next week. And we'll see. I mean, to the points that we made, like there is an 8, sort of. There were 6 votes that prevailed here. I have a feeling it's not sticking together, knowing this cast. So I cannot wait to see where it goes. If you have any thoughts for games on the B&B, you know what to do. You can email them to us, rhapbnb@gmail.com, or use the hashtag rhapbnb on social media. We are receiving any and all submissions for games. Thank you to everyone who sent them to us so far. We hope to parse them out throughout the season, depending on what is being brought to us by this messy, fun group of people each and every week. Special thanks to Scott St-Pierre for editing everything behind the scenes, and Will from America for his fantastic theme song. We'll be back next week with Chappelle talking episode 8 of Survivor 42.
Mike and Leona, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Leona, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. That all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B.
You can say for free. Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.